here this morning. I want to talk about faith this morning. After I'd typed this lesson up, I thought I should have entitled it Saving Faith, because there's different aspects of faith. So I want to talk about saving faith this morning. I love to hear people's testimonies over the years. I've heard some pretty good ones. I've heard questionable ones, at least in my mind. But all of us have a testimony. If you've come to Christ and He saved you, you have a testimony. It doesn't matter if you are an axe murderer, your biggest sin was kicking the cat. You had to be saved. The text this morning will be out of Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50. I'd like to go ahead and pray before we read the text. Holy Father in heaven, I thank you for all those who have come out to hear your word this morning. And I pray, Lord, that you will take this to our hearts. Speak to us, Lord, one-on-one as only you can. Bear witness with our hearts. Father, I pray for those who are not with us for one reason or the other, that you would be with them and bless them. Father, I ask that I might decrease, that you may increase. Holy Spirit, speak this word through me to your people. Touch us in our hearts and take it deep into our hearts. I ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. All right, Luke 7, verse 36 through 50. One of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And behold, a woman of the city, who was a sinner, when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of ointment, and standing behind him at his feet weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." A certain moneylender had two debtors, one owed 500 denarii, and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "The one, I suppose, for whom he canceled the larger debt." And he said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little." And he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." Then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The Greek word that the word Pharisee comes from means a separatist, an exclusively religious person. And the Pharisees fit that word because they were separatists. They kept to themselves. They expected to be shown a lot of respect. They would not have anything to do with sinners. They felt it would defile them. The Pharisees believed they were more righteous than other people. I'm glad there's not people like that today. And they did their best to keep the law of Moses. If you remember, at one time Jesus rebuked them because they had some 615 different traditions. And he said, "By your traditions, you nullify the word of God." They were more concerned with keeping their traditions, and they thought by doing that they would be keeping the law. Jesus called them whitewashed tombs. Every year at the festivals, they would whitewash the tombs outside of Jerusalem. So the guests that were coming in would see, you know, these beautiful tombs. They had flowers planted around them. And Jesus said to the Pharisees, you're just like those tombs. You look good on the outside. You dress like you're holy. You talk like you're holy. But he who sees the heart said, but inside you're full of everything that defiles. You're full of everything that's unclean. How many of you understand God works from the inside out when he saves people? When I got saved in 1984, I'd been a drug dealer, I was a drunk, and I had hair down to here. And it took about 5 years before I ever cut my hair. I didn't see what the problem was, but some churches did. I remember one church we were in, some of the men came to my wife. I don't know why they didn't talk to me, but they said he would look more like a Christian if he'd cut his hair. They just had a problem with my hair. I shared my testimony at a rodeo church service. A pastor I knew, he just loved my testimony, and he thought everybody ought to hear it. And when I'm walking around all them redneck cowboys, I'm getting glared at and dirty looks, you know, before I spoke. They're probably wondering, what's the hippie doing here? And when I got up and gave my testimony, this guy walks up to me, big old cowboy. He looked like one of the bulls wearing a hat. Just big old stocky dude. And on the inside, I'm thinking, oh boy. You know, this redneck's going to dress me down. And he stuck a big old paw out and he said, I really enjoyed your testimony, little brother. And I said, well, praise the Lord. And on the inside, I went, shoo. Because I thought this guy's going to hurt me, you know. But I'm saying that God changes us from the inside. He doesn't start on the outside, much to the chagrin of some people. You know, he doesn't clean you up on the outside. He starts on the inside. And Jesus talked about the smug attitude of the Pharisees in Luke 18. He said, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. David, in his prayer of repentance after his sin with Bathsheba, said in Psalm 51, for you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. God said to the people of Israel through the prophet Isaiah, this is the one whom I will look. He who is humble and contrite in heart and trembles at my word. Now, that Hebrew word that's translated contrite in the Old English literally means to collapse, physically or mentally. And when I think of that word and the way that the Lord used it in Scripture and the way it's been used, God is looking for those who will stop fighting with him and submit. I've said this for years, and I'll say it till the Lord takes me home. You cannot be saved until you see that you're a sinner. And that's not popular today. How dare you call me a sinner? I'm not as bad as my neighbor. Do you know what he's done or what she's done? And when I've had that thrown at me, I always throw it back at him. That neighbor isn't going to be the one sitting on the judgment seat. You're comparing yourself to a fallen person. It's easy to look at people around us sometimes and think well of ourselves. I hear it all the time. Well, I saw the news the other night and they had this child molester on her. I hope they, Well, wait a minute. Who are you to make that kind of a judgment? Well, I'd never do anything like that. Praise God. But it doesn't make you any less of a sinner than him. Not in the eyes of God. James said, if you can keep the whole law, but you break one part, you're guilty of the whole law. That's how God sees us. When God looks at me, he doesn't see a righteous, upstanding, sinless guy. I'm a work in progress. When I came to Christ, I couldn't have came to him in a church because I'd emptied half the church when I was confessing my sins out loud. I really believe that. I talk about testimonies. People haven't heard all of my testimony, and they will not. I'm not going to talk about all things that I used to do. But I know one thing. I was a vile sinner, and Jesus Christ had mercy. Not because he looked at me and said, well, he's kind of straightened up. I think I can finally go ahead and reach out to him. It's because I humbled myself. I got honest with him, and I said, God, have mercy on me. I saw myself the way he saw me. Now, in this text today, Luke is talking about a woman who comes uninvited to a meal that Jesus is at, and he simply refers to her as a sinner. The Greek word for sin, to my understanding, means to miss the mark. And when the Pharisees especially called you a sinner, it was somebody who constantly and consistently misses the mark. And you know, you get to a point in your life, you just quit trying. You quit trying to hide it. What's the use? You know, everybody knows what I am. I know what I am. And at this time, Jesus was seated with one of the Pharisees, and this woman, a sinner, comes up behind him. Now, tradition says that she was a prostitute. I don't know if there's any documented proof or evidence of that, or if it's just a supposition that somebody has, but let's say for argument's sake that she was. And she came in behind the Lord and knelt at his feet. Now it says she was standing behind him. They sat on the floor in those days. They had mats they sat on, and they would have their feet behind him. I'm not going to try to illustrate that because it'd take three or four men to get me off the floor. But they would sit on their knees. She came up behind the Lord, knelt down, and wept. Luke said she was weeping. That Greek there doesn't mean just tears silently running down her cheeks. That word to weep means to sob, to mourn brokenheartedly. It wasn't a quiet, silent cry. She was sobbing. Her heart was broken. I believe because she knew, she believed that this was the Messiah, the promised one, the Holy One of Israel, and she had such deep remorse for the life that she had lived. Her sins were all in front of her, and she was brokenhearted over her sin. I don't know that she came expecting anything out of the Lord. Maybe she had heard him preach. Maybe she's witnessed some of his miracles, but something in her said, this is the guy. Well, we saw Simon's attitude, the Pharisee. He immediately judged that Jesus could not be a prophet. He could not be from God. The Pharisees debated that. They argued that among themselves. And he said, if this guy were a prophet, he'd already decided he's not a prophet. He can't be a man of God. He's allowing a woman like that to touch him. Now, I read in those days, rabbis did not even speak to women in public. And for a woman to approach a rabbi was shameful. You remember when Jesus was talking to the woman at the well of Samaria, it said his disciples wondered why he was talking to her, but they didn't ask him. That was just considered bad manners in that culture. And Simon thought, if this guy were a prophet, if he really was from God, he wouldn't allow this. He would not allow this kind of a woman to touch him. You ever meet Christians like that? Don't raise your hand and don't name any names. But I'm sure every one of us, if you've been a Christian very long, you've met people that way. They think they've arrived. Well, you can tell I'm a Christian. I wear my skirts down to here. I don't wear makeup. Don't watch TV. Don't smoke cigarettes. Don't chew. Don't spit. Really? Now, I've said this before. You've just described a Muslim. You've just described a Mooney. You've just described a Mormon or a Jehovah's Witness. This Pharisee looked at this woman with disgust. And then that disgust turned towards the Lord. Now Jesus knows the heart of men. He knew what was in this woman's heart. He knew what was in Simon's heart. He knew the heart of everybody at that table. He knew who approved, who disapproved, who was just curious about what was going on. And as she wept, the Bible says that she let her hair down. That was another thing you didn't do in that culture. A woman did not unbind her hair in public, but she let her hair down. Her tears were washing the dirt off of his feet. I worked a car wreck years ago, and a child was critically injured, and I was in the back seat holding them still, and he was unconscious, but he was weeping, and it was washing the blood off my hands. I'll never forget that. And she was sobbing and weeping so hard, her tears were washing the dirt off the Lord's feet. So she unbound her hair and she started drying his feet. Maybe she was a little embarrassed and thought, well, I didn't mean to slobber all over you, guy. And she began to kiss his feet. David said in Psalm chapter 2, kiss the Son lest he be angry. And she paid homage to him as one would a king in those days, a monarch. She kissed his feet. She took that ointment that she used to perfume her bed sheets for her clients. You can read about that in Proverbs. The adulterous wife to her lover, I've perfumed my bed sheets. Come, let's drink of our love all night. So if she was a prostitute, this ointment was used to perfume her bed sheets. What'd she do with it? She dumped it all on the Lord's feet. This is a beautiful story to me of repentance. She never spoke a word. She couldn't. She was broken by her sin. She knew who she was. She knew what she was. And I believe she knew who Jesus was. And she honored him, the only person in that room that showed him honor. Now you remember, Jesus said he turned and looked at the woman, but he rebuked his host at the same time. I've read a couple books on the culture and the customs of this day. Whenever you had a house guest, you at the least were to set out water so they could wash their feet. You were to give them a kiss in greeting. And in this hot desert climate, it was particularly thought courteous that you would put some oil on their head. They had fragrant olive oil that you could pour over their head and it would help cool. And Jesus looked at that Pharisee. He looked at the woman and he kept his eye on the woman and he said, you know what? You're not even a good host. I came to your house. You didn't give me a kiss. You didn't even give me water to wash my feet. You didn't even anoint my head with oil. Simon failed to honor Jesus, even as a house guest. Whether he believed he was the Messiah or not, it doesn't matter at this point. He didn't even show himself to be a good host. And Jesus was saying, and you're looking down on her? That's called sanctimonious, not sanctified. When I was in the Nazarene church, every year in Bible college, we had to go before a review board of doctors, and they would question you about what you've learned and how you're doing. And one of them said one day, what are you learning? I said that sanctified people are some of the meanest spirited people I ever ran across in my life. He said, explain that. I said, I meet people in the church that say I'm sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit, and they are critical, they are bitter, they are judgmental, they look down their nose at other people. I said, doctors, that's not sanctified, that's sanctimonious. That shouldn't be. And one named Dr. Wright looked at me and said, yeah, son, I agree with you. It's a sad fact. But he said, sometimes in the church we forget where we came from. Simon the Pharisee needed God's forgiveness just as much as this prostitute. But he wouldn't accept it. Jesus said, she's washed my feet with her tears. She hasn't stopped kissing my feet since I sat down. She anointed me with ointment. And he said, her sins, which are many, he knew her sins. He said, they're forgiven her. I can't imagine the peace that come over that woman. To hear the Holy One of Israel look at you and say, you're forgiven. But I know the peace I had when that happened to me. Now, Simon, in my opinion, should have apologized immediately and said, you're right, Jesus, I wasn't a good host. I apologize. He should have apologized before his guest. He should have repented. But he didn't. The Bible says the people at the table begin to say, who is this who forgives sins? And Jesus didn't even justify their question with an answer. He looked at that woman and said, go in peace. Shalom. Your faith has saved you. Now, I said, I want to talk about saving faith. I've heard a lot of testimonies. I remember one church I was in, a lady said, well, I'd been attending church with my husband for a few months, and I just woke up and realized I was a child of God. And I said, how does that work? You just realized you were one of God's children? No one. I don't care how good your family is. I don't care what your background is. I don't care if you've grown up in church since you was knee-high to a tall Indian. No one will be saved until they see their need for it. Until, like this woman, they fall at the feet of Jesus and say, God, have mercy on me. I've talked to a lot of people over the years. Well, I believe. That means I'm a Christian. Really? Have you ever called out to God? Well, I was baptized when I was 6 years old. Good. Did you call on His name? Did you confess to Him that you were a sinner? Did you line up with Him? Jesus knew who this woman was. He knew what she was guilty of. But you remember what He said to the Pharisees? She loved much. So she's been forgiven all. Simon, you love a little. And you know what He was saying? Very little has been forgiven you, Simon. You cannot, will not be saved if you do not acknowledge that you need to be saved. Now, this little pastor I was talking about, he loved to hear my testimony. And he would drag me to places, well, not drag, but he would get me to go places, share your testimony. I want them to hear your testimony. And it's like, you know, unless you've been a drug addict and all kinds of a vile person, it seems like people really don't want to hear your testimony. Somebody get up and say, well, I got saved when I was 10. Well, that's nice. But somebody like me get up and say, yeah, I used to do drugs. And, oh, brother, tell us all about Jesus. We want to hear about Jesus. But I've met people on the flip side. I told you about one guy, he and his wife invited me to dinner. I was attending this little church, and I hadn't cut my hair yet, you know. And he was a redneck logger, and he said, I want to hear your testimony. So I told him my testimony. And his wife was sitting there going, praise God, you know, isn't God good that he reaches out and grabs it? And he reached over and grabbed a handful of my hair and yanked on it and said, if you'd cut that, I might be believing you. She said, honey, don't pull his hair. And I thought, yeah, honey, you're fixing to get hit. I said, Lord, tell honey that I will pop him right between the eyes if he keeps grabbing hold of me. And he said, well, I enjoyed your testimony. I was a sinner, but I wasn't a scuzzbag like you. I said, maybe not, brother, but you and I were headed to the same place. And I said, you know what happens to property values when hippies come in? I said, you and I would have shared the same hell. So I said, we were both going to the same place. Yeah, maybe I've done a lot worse things than you did. I've been forgiven more because maybe I did more. Maybe that's why I love like I do. I love Jesus. He's my Savior. David said, I called out from the pit and he rescued me. That's where I was, church. I was going down for the count. No way out. But I called on the name of Jesus Christ one night, and as Greg said at the table, he reached down and got a hold of my hand and said, I'm right here. Don't allow yourself to be deceived. Don't think because I've grown up in a Christian family or my dad's a preacher or whatever thing that you may say about yourself, I've grown up in the church. If you've never seen your need to be saved, you cannot be saved until that happens. Would you stand with me this morning? Do I still have a lot of flaws? I sure do. And I'm so glad my God's a patient God and willing to work with me. I get taken to the spiritual woodshed probably once a week. And God gets that rod out and thumps on me. But you know what? I'm glad he does because it tells me he loves me. He doesn't want to leave me like I am. But I'm not the man I was 40 years ago, church. Not bragging on me. Let him who boasts boast in the Lord. This is all what God has done in my life. If you're here this morning and you've never called on his name, I invite you to do that. I'm not asking you to come up here and make a scene or try to embarrass you or put you on the spot. Answer this question. Have I ever called out to Jesus Christ because I'm a lost sinner? Or are you one of them that think you're a pretty good person and you're going to eke into heaven by keeping some rules? That won't happen. The demons believe in Jesus and they tremble in fear. None of them are going to heaven, church. If you're away from the Lord this morning, we all get there. There are times as Christians in our walk, we all need to go back to the feet of Jesus. I believe that. We need to humble ourselves and say, I've sinned. Stop making excuses and justifying what we do and just simply go to him and say, I've sinned. Until you line up with him, you can't be saved. You won't be saved. I would ask whoever has our closing prayer to please pray for us. Close the service.